You're listening to the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. Here, we'll help you unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship and self-development. This is your host, Alex Quinn. I'm a full-stack marketing executive and global keynote speaker. Get ready to get real-world knowledge from top-level entrepreneurs and world-class business leaders.
What's up, everyone? I'm Chris Voss.
Yo, this is Grant Cardone.
What's up, guys? This is Ezra Firestone, and you're listening to Hustle Inspires Hustle, the podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is Alex Quinn, Brett Kaufman from Wellspring Media, master copywriter, high ticket sales. This is a long time coming, man. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Hey, break it down for me. You've been in copywriting, or what you could call copywriting, for about 8 years now. Mm-hmm. You were preparing for some time and then officially got into it as a service. Why don't you break that down for me?
Yeah, so I started my entrepreneur journey, and I also never wanted to be an entrepreneur as a kid. It wasn't like that dream, that desire to have like that lemonade stand, and you know, a lot of stories.
Okay.
I was just a kid that liked sports and girls growing up, and then I got into my first job, which was bipartisan pro-Israel lobbying at an organization called AIPAC, which is basically fundraising.
Okay.
And so that's where I would cold email, cold call, cold text, and set up meetings with people that never met me to get them to donate between $2,000 to $100,000 first time meeting me. And that's where I learned the power of words.
Not bad,
yeah.
Okay, and so you were writing the copy for all of that.
Yeah, so I had to book my own business. I basically was like my own company inside of it. It's like imagine like a call center, but you actually then get to go and set your own meetings and actually do the meetings yourself.
Right. Yeah.
So all of it was on your own.
Okay, and at the time, had you consumed a lot of copywriting content, like books or anything of the sort?
I could barely read, it felt like. If I went back and actually read the emails that I wrote, I'd be like, the grammar on here is horrible.
Jesus.
But it worked.
But
so,
it did it. Yeah. It got the job done. How long were you doing that for?
So I was doing that for about 5 years in total, two in the college movement, because it started in the college movement where they would recruit us, go to DC to lobby on Capitol Hill and like start learning about the organization in Israel. It's amazing. And then 3 years on their actual staff.
Okay.
And so in 3 years, I ended up raising $3 million from my efforts.
Beautiful.
That was really cool.
You were really proud of that at that point, I'm guessing.
I'm still so proud of it now.
Right. Because that's kind of like the foundation for what's next, right? Mm-hmm. Your next chapter.
Yeah.
And what was that next chapter?
So the only reason I became an entrepreneur was because at the time I got promoted out of the Fort Lauderdale office to the Chicago office. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great. And I had originally 3 months until my new contract started. So I was like, I'm going to go back to Israel. I'm going to go hang out with friends. I'm going to go yeshiva, which is basically a place where you study Torah. And the guy I was going to go work for was like, no, you got to come to Chicago tomorrow. And I'm like, this sucks. And I was like, this is the last time I'll ever let someone tell me that I couldn't do something. Mm. And so the next day I bought a course from Chasing Capital on email copywriting.
Okay.
And that was my first journey then understanding what copywriting was. So then once I gave myself a year to understand it, and then a full year happened in the Chicago office, I said, I'm out. And then that's when I just started my own copywriting company.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how was that at first, that transition?
Terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
I ended up meeting my partner, who's still my partner today, actually at a Jason Capital conference.
Uh-huh.
And in a club together. You know when you meet someone and you're like, let's grab coffee, but like don't really mean it?
Yeah.
Kind of like a formality. Him and I were in a club together, both drunk, and we're like, let's do business together. So that I used my skills that I learned with prospecting, and I ended up closing a client. I could not fulfill them, so I called him. I said, hey, I have this guy, would you like to help me with? And he was like, sure. So then him and I partnered together for 2 years before now bringing in our third partner.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's lasted. I love that.
Yeah. Thank God. It's been a good marriage.
You know, it's funny that a lot of business is done over drinks, over food, over events. Yeah. It's not always in a business setting. You know, a lot of the bigger deals are actually done in quite casual environments.
Yeah. I think it's better. You get to know someone truly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Everybody has kind of their guard down a little bit. They could actually be regular people, because at the end of the day, it is just regular people doing business with regular people.
Plus I get to know you, like, how are you in a relaxed setting? Because in business, we all put on a little bit of a show sometimes.
Yep, a little polished up.
Yeah, but when we're hanging out, we're like, ah, this guy's dope.
When you're fucking up bottles at the club, you know what's really going on.
I'm like, hey, he has my back. We got this. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
No.
Okay. And tell me about the business. Tell me about Wellspring.
So Wellspring Media is a full stack marketing agency that at its core sells words. Well, that means that at the core, we all started with writing words that got people to take action. So one of my partners, John Romanello, he's a New York Times bestselling author. He's been in the game for, he was one of the OG direct marketers from like Joel Marion, like Craig Ballantyne, like he was in that world. And Yogev, he also was a brilliant writer, started in the SaaS world. So all of us had writing experience to get people to do something.
Different verticals, yeah.
Yeah, so then Yogev and I were partnered together. And we actually cold pitched John to learn from him. Mm-hmm. And John at the time asked us like, how much money are you guys making? And we're like, not much. And he was like, I can't ethically take your money to learn for like to hire me as a coach, but we can create this course together. So that started our first course called Captivating Copywriting. And that's how the three of us got together.
Collabo.
Exactly.
I love those.
Yeah.
What a nice response from him, you know? Like, you know what? I'm not going to take your money.
Yeah.
But I'm going to help. And we're going to help each other. And we're going to help other people in the process. So pretty cool, right?
Which is so rare because other people might have just been like, thank you. And then we...
Let me get them 10K. Yeah.
He's like, you guys are way too poor right now. I can't ethically do it. So.
And to be fair, the people that do charge, that's fine too, right? I think it's all in the person that is actually paying. Like, are you going to put work in? Don't spend a bunch of money and then not put the work in and then say, oh, that person's program didn't work. Because I'm sure that, you know, there's a lot of grifters out there that sell bullshit. But, you know, there's also people that do have great stuff.
Yeah, it takes two
to
tango.
You know that very well. You're very in the industry.
Yeah, very much.
All right. So today we wanted to learn about you. We want to learn about your business, what you do for copywriting. And we also wanted to give some golden nuggets to everybody so they could implement it into the business. Because I'm sure during this whole time you've sold products, you've sold services, SaaS, e-com, all types of stuff, I'm guessing, right? Yep. All right. So we've gone ahead and prepared some questions. And we're going to go ahead and rapid fire through all of these. All right. How's that espresso?
Now I'm ready.
Yeah.
Now that there's caffeine flowing, let's go.
Yeah. And we're in Miami, by the way. So, you know, coffee's always here.
Yes. It's the best addiction to have.
Cuban coffee.
Yes.
All right. All right. So what inspired you to become a copywriter for business, like specifically?
So that's a twofold, but the short answer is that honestly, all of us had different trauma periods in our life that use words to heal it. So to give you the abridged version, happy to go in the deeper one, but the abridged one was when I was super depressed, the thing that actually got me out of my depression was being able to write how I was feeling. And I got to future pace now that I got to future pace a version of me when I was happy again, and then I got to see that person. So I basically sold myself a future version of me that was no longer sad. And Yogev and John had their own kind of version of that as well. They'll say it in their own words. So we all have such a deep connection to words. That's why we chose that as like the main primary vehicle we love to use to help other businesses use words to then change other people's lives.
So something that made you feel better physically, mentally, is eventually what became your business.
Yeah.
When you were trying to feel better, what were you writing? What were you writing about?
So I was writing like, what would it look like when I wasn't sad. So
the ultimate version of yourself, like what do I look like when I'm like 1000%?
Yeah. And it's also hard. If I don't know if you've ever gone through like a depression state.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. Multiple times.
So then you would understand at least the time I couldn't see past like 2 days. So I had to be like, what is a good day tomorrow? So it started off with just me writing 3 things I was grateful for at the end of that night. And it could have been as simple as like my shoes are dope. And then I just gave myself tiny endorphin hits, tiny. And then eventually it was like, what's a good week look like? What's a good month look like? Then what's a good year look like? Then what's me look like at 1000%?
You brainwash yourself into doing it.
Yeah.
Ultimately, I mean, that's all we got to do.
Yeah.
You know, lay out the path, lay out the milestones, and then just see things day by day.
Yeah.
Really cool that you turned that into a business.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. Can you walk us through your process for creating effective copy that drives conversions? Simplify it, you could dive deep, however you usually have your elevator pitch on this.
So this is really fun. So we in our course, Captivating Copywriting, we have a module called Templates Are Shit, Frameworks Are Lit, because we don't believe in templates.
Okay.
Frameworks we have everyone uses. It's called the 5-part foolproof framework. Mm-hmm. So number one is position the problem. So what would that person say that their problem is in their own words? Like how they describe it, like to a friend, right? Paint the pain. Is step number two. So how does it feel when that person's like experiencing that? Like again, what's that sensations that they're feeling? Again, in their own words. Number three, sing the solution. Now, how does it feel to finally have that lifted off their shoulders? Like that weight off of them. Number four, disclose the data. So this is where we're using industry stats, we're using statistics, we're using just testimonies. And then number five, offer up opportunities to overcome objections, which is showing people just like them, who is one phase ahead of them, two phases, and three phases, meaning the ultimate finish line. Mm-hmm. So then I get to see myself like slightly better, moderately better, and extremely better over time. And so this framework allows you to actually know then the right words to use to make sure you're actually speaking to the person, because the problem with templates is that it's plug and play, but who I'm selling to is different than the next person that's going to buy it. They'll have similarities, but they're slightly different. Mm-hmm. Frameworks allow you to like really know that person to a core.
I love that. You have that down packed.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. How do you stay up to date with the latest trends and best practices in conversion copywriting?
I love subscribing to better copywriters and better marketers because there's so much I can learn.
Yeah.
I'm also using heavily ChatGPT, like everyone should be doing their business. Yeah. And as you know, with that, it's all about the questions you're asking.
The quality of the questions you ask dictate the quality of the results that you get.
Right.
Right. Copywriting has been huge for me because before digital marketing, to me, it was just run ads. And then once, you know, you peek behind the curtain,
yeah,
it's like, oh, copywriting, tracking, this, that, video. I started getting deep into it. Bob Bly helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Read some of his books, interviewed him on the podcast. That was super cool. And then just started consuming a ton of copywriting books, copywriting courses, Jeremy Haynes copywriting
material. Shout out to the legend.
Yeah. That helped me out a lot. Yeah. We talk a lot about Jeremy on the podcast because Jeremy has helped our marketing agency grow a lot. And that's how we met.
Yeah.
We met through Jeremy, didn't we? Or am I tripping?
It was either Jeremy first or Epic Talks, either or.
I think it was Jeremy, and then we met up at Epic Talks. Yeah. Shout out to Epic Talks in Miami. Melitza's been on this podcast. We've gotten a chance to chat and break things down. Really cool entrepreneurship communities.
Yes.
So very key. A lot of the things that we've talked about here, notice how they've come from events. You know, like you getting into copywriting, right? Grew with events.
Yeah.
I met Jeremy at an event.
Oh, really?
Met you at a mastermind event, meet you at other events. Like, you know, that stuff is important. Getting out there is important.
So important. I also want to add two more things before of ways that I found I got better at copywriting that are probably not conventional, but it works.
Right.
One, consume so many fantastic movies and TVs, which is counterintuitive to that entrepreneurship world. That's like, turn off all TV.
I don't watch that shit.
Yeah. Okay. Our philosophy is like, okay, if this movie won an Oscar, why? Well, the storytelling is phenomenal. The emotions that they're using is phenomenal. So that's how you learn how to tell great stories.
Yeah.
The other one is you can actually read erotic fiction.
Yeah.
Porn's bad for your brain.
You dirty bastard. Look at you.
Listen, man.
Listen. I'm going to go home and do it today.
Your honey's like, what are you doing? I'm like, hold on, I'm reading.
Hold on, baby. Yeah.
The reason why
Brett told me to read.
Buy my course. If you think about it though, it's the whole book is designed to get you off, but there's no images. There's no video. So you have to read something that like turns you on.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it explains the 50 Shades. Everybody going crazy years back when that book came out. Yes. And they weren't even hearing anything or seeing anything, was just reading.
Bro, if you can get someone to get excited from words, you can sell any high ticket thing ever.
Yeah.
It's so much easier.
We gotta hit up all these erotic fiction writers and hire them at marketing agencies around the United States.
Yeah.
Hire your own. We could create our own automation offer.
Dude,
get your own erotic fiction writer.
And erotic fiction will just fucking take over the industry.
All right. What are some common mistakes? What are some common mistakes businesses make when trying to write their own conversion copy?
Not knowing exactly who they're writing to. A lot of people like to skip. A lot of people skip over the actual research part because they're either using a template or they think they know what they're doing, or
they're trying to speak to everybody.
Yeah. Or they also like, I know you said like writing, but if they hire it out, they themselves don't know what great copy looks like. So therefore they can't recognize that their copywriter isn't great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can you imagine dropping like 10, 20K on like a copywriting package and you just paid like a rookie?
Bro,
that would hurt so much.
I've done that in other areas of my life. So I'm like, okay, no.
That's why you always got to like consult with a few people, have them look at something and kind of like be careful, especially when you're spending a lot of money.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you share a success story where your copywriting led to significant increase in conversions for a client?
Oh, yes. One of our favorite clients is Casandrinos Olive Oil. They're an olive oil company. Mm. I take no commission, but go to their website. They are so the best olive oil. They're for a 100-year-old family-run company from Greece. Mm. So their olive oil comes from there. Delicious. Tony Casandrinos, he's the founder of it, I guess he's the CEO of it. And he came to us because he had a massive email list and SMS, but they wasn't converting to the degree that it
should. They wanted, yeah.
So in the first month together, we ended up helping them generate $1 million just from their email and SMS.
Some light work.
Yeah, just a little casual.
A little cash.
But when you peel it back, it felt easy in the sense that they didn't tell their story. So when you were reading their emails and SMS, it was like, this olive oil is great for this reason. But bro, you're a 100-year-old olive oil. Like, tell that story. Tell how it's
sexy story.
Yeah. Tell how Hercules took it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, go into the whole family, the Casandrinos, like how you guys stayed family run, where I'm sure you got other offers.
That's a cool last name too, Casandrinos.
It's a dope last name.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And also he's an army vet. So there's so many characters in the family of like, you're not showing any personality, anything about you guys, because people buy you more than they're going to buy your products.
Yeah.
And so we made sure the copy was like written for people that want to support family businesses, maybe even veterans, maybe like they have a Greek ethnicity. Like you just write to the different people you know are going to buy based on the commonalities that the owners have.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you're able to take that, identify that, mix that with the existing data they already had to create money that they didn't.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah. They already had the formula. They just needed you.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you see as the future of conversion copywriting, and how do you see the industry evolving over time?
Well, this is a perfect segue into AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. So AI is going to take over if you know how to use it properly. Mm-hmm. So I think with any industry, if you're like, okay, you're going to be replaced, but if you're great, you're going to stay. Mm-hmm. So the future copywriting is going to evolve to knowing what actually great A+ level copywriting looks like, because that's how you'll know how to prompt whatever AI you're using to write it faster. Mm-hmm. But if you just put in mediocre questions, it's going to give you mediocre copy, and you're no different than where you are now paying a mediocre copywriter to produce you mediocre results.
Yeah.
So it's even more important for you, the business owner, to become an expert copywriter.
And also understand how these systems work, ChatGPT or whatever other technology comes out that precedes that. How does that work? How do prompts work? How is how does that, all that shit work? Like the back end of it. Cause I understand the front end. I ask quality questions. I have quality prompts. I get great workout. I'm able to work a lot faster, you know, but how the whole back end of it works, it's important to understand as well.
Totally.
Like the mechanisms behind it. How does the technology work? Or who created it? Where is it going? How can it be added to other apps, or how could there be integrations? Because that's where the real money's at, I'm guessing. Yeah.
And the other answer to that, slightly different, is that more companies are going to shift towards brand building than direct response.
Yeah.
So for example, we're now working with Onnit, which feels amazing to finally sign them. It's going to be a great contract. Onnit came to us because they didn't want just a traditional like direct response page. They wanted it to be more selling their brand, right? Like who they are and how they spend so much time building that identity. They're a big supplement company, if nobody knows. So the idea is that companies that are going to last in the future, it's because people resonate with the values of that brand versus like this magic pill, if it's supplement, can like change your life. Like those days are gone.
Yeah.
It's brands that are going to survive. So you need to know like your brand values and then know how to write great copy.
Get people to trust you. Let them know what you're about, how you could help them, what your culture is like, how you invest their money, research and development, what are we passionate about? And then they start identifying with you, and then it's easier for them to trust you with their money.
100%.
All right. Okay. What are some ethical considerations you keep in mind when creating copy that is designed to persuade people to take a specific action?
So you actually need to know who exactly you're writing to, because you need to know what exactly their main problems are and their main fears are. Because you can easily take this and pervert it and make that person just freak out, right? So the idea is that you need to know what you're trying to get them to take action on and why it's good for them. So before you even make anything, make sure you're a good guy, not selling any bullshit, because this can easily, you can easily hurt someone by knowing how to write fantastic words.
Hey, I just wanted to jump in real quick to tell you about how to train yourself in organization, balancing your priorities, developing successful habits, and most importantly, having a better mindset. I'm giving free access to resources and materials on business management and self-development. Go to hustleinspireshustle.com/app to get access. That's hustleinspireshustle.com/app. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Hustle Inspires Hustle. Okay, let's get back into the episode.
Yeah, very important to know. You could write whatever pretty words you want, but the product or service has to work. Yeah. Has to actually help people. One great thing to look at as well, if you're a copywriter, is making sure you're being compliant on the platforms you're writing on.
Yes.
And to the people you're speaking to, not making any unsubstantiated claims. I don't know, like just making sure you're compliant. You don't want to have any FCC, FTC right. issues these days. That's, you know, a little bit crazy. Also, and they're cracking down more and more when it comes to online sales.
I was going
to
say too, like if you're a copywriter writing bullshit, like you can get sued. So you're on the line.
Yeah. It's not like the company themselves. You yeah. will get sued too, as well as the company.
Right.
Yeah, that's so, not cool.
Yeah, I don't know if you want that issue.
Nope. Don't be a
pretty simple.
Don't be an man. How do you balance the need to create compelling copy while maintaining brand voice and tone?
That's a fantastic question. You just need, so it all starts with like truly knowing, like let's say you're building a company that's very brand oriented. You have to know exactly what you stand for and your values, because creating compelling copy is about telling a fantastic story. But oftentimes people fall in love with a brand if they like enjoy who they are, who, you know, who it is, right? In the life that they live. Mm-hmm. So if you know who you are, your values, what you do, that people can resonate with you, then it's easier to write compelling copy, because then there's a million things to write a great story around. And with every great story, there's always a teaching moment. Mm-hmm. There's always a thing. Oh, if you like this lesson, if you do this, you can also have this kind of outcome too.
Yeah.
But if you don't know yourself, and then you don't know that you're super interesting and exciting to talk to, or people want to hear from you, you're not going to write compelling copy.
Okay. I love that. What advice would you give to businesses who are just starting to invest in conversion copywriting? They're just fresh off.
Yeah. So this is one of my favorite things to do. If you are selling something high ticket, because this will work really well here too, record every single sales call you're ever on, whether it's with a new client or clients already bought before. Then I want you to take that and I want you to put in otter.ai, because it's going to transcribe it. So now you have the words of what that, like what the person was saying in the video. Then you're going to take three highlighters, a green, a red, and a blue. Mm-hmm. And now you're going to mark up the page. So the blue is going to be anything about their hopes, about their dreams. The red is going to be anything with fear. And green's anything money related. Now you're going to go through this transcript and you're going to start highlighting everything that I just said. And then you're going to organize it in another doc. So now you're going to have all the hopes, all the dreams, you know, all the money, all the fear. Now, if you do this for like 10 to 20 different people, you basically have your copy pre-written, because you're hearing it directly from, so to speak, the horse's mouth, from that person's mouth. And like tends to attract like. So you start to see commonalities amongst people that bought from you, their hopes, dreams, and what they want, like what to do with their money. That gives you the foundation to actually write your compelling copy.
I love that. I'm actually going to try that, because I'm very like about writing and highlighting and like physical. I type a lot, but notes get lost in files and softwares. And I like having something physical to look at, whether you're highlighting that online or you're highlighting that in person, like actually physical. I think that's a pretty solid strategy. I like that.
It changed so much for me when I did that.
I've never done that before. I want to talk to my team about doing that. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Of course.
All right. How can you share any tool? Okay. You talked about some tools already, but can you share any tools or resources you use to help optimize your copy or conversions outside of ChatGPT and Otter that you just mentioned?
Let me think. What do we like to do? I mean, those are our two main ones. We're like you, we're very old school. I have a ton of journals where I write stuff in, but like tools itself. Oh, this is obviously, why is it escaping me? Where you get to,
what does the tool do?
Heat mapping. Duh.
Oh, heat mapping. Okay.
Heat mapping is fantastic. For those that don't know heat mapping, you get to see how long someone's on the page and where they're spending most time reading or like skipping over. So that gives you just great instant feedback for like your VSL or your long form sales page, or even an email, what part you need to change first.
Yeah.
If the person's skipping over it.
Or to fix the click through rate on the button or whatever, and make sure that your headline is a little better, or call to action on the button.
So that's a huge one that we use.
Okay, cool. I'm guessing, which one do you use a few of them? Or?
Hotjar. There it
Hotjar.
Is.
Hotjar. I use Hotjar as well. Yeah.
Hotjar is great.
Okay, there we go, guys. This is like straight off people that are using this in the industry right now. So it's all about how you use these tools, because a lot of people pay these tools, but they don't use them.
Yeah.
And you actually have to use the data on these tools so they could actually help you grow.
Yeah.
Okay, so keep that in mind. And all of these tools that we're mentioning, everything we're talking about, is going to be linked on the show notes. So whatever platform you're on, go on the show notes. It'll link straight to it. Or you could visit hustleinspireshustle.com and you'll find everything there on the show notes. Just find the episode of the page. How do you approach writing copy for different types of businesses and industries?
So that all comes down to like
framework.
Yeah, framework and who exactly we are writing to. So our process is longer, right? So we're not the, full disclosure, we're not the kind of person you come to and say, I need this done tomorrow. Because they're going to be like, bro, I don't know you well enough for me to produce something for you tomorrow.
That's actually kind of a red flag if you have it tomorrow, no?
Yeah, for me it is.
I mean, yeah, because you spent, I'm guessing you spent a good time researching deep.
Yeah, because the beginning of our calls are like, who are you? Tell me your story. It's literally like a therapy session where we go super deep. Even if you're an e-commerce store, it doesn't matter. Because what you're producing, I have to understand so well. Mm-hmm. And I have to understand then why you, the creator, created it. And then that gives me the information I need to actually then produce an outline. And then we write it. And then our whole process is like, we show you our work every week. And I want you to absolutely destroy it. If it does not sound like you, if it's like, you know, something brand oriented, and mark it up. Because if it doesn't feel like the person's having a direct conversation with you while reading, it's not going to convert.
Right.
So that's our process there.
I like that. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
What role do data and analytics play in your conversion copywriting process?
So that is perfect for once we actually have written it the first time and then it goes live to test, how is it doing? That will tell us what we need to tweak, test, what colors we might need to change for conversion rate optimization, subject line variations. But we really use data after we do our first best guess and see what the initial data is telling us. And then we optimize for higher conversions.
When you when you're auditing a new business, I'm sure you look at all their past ads, all their past emails, everything, and you kind of consume that, take that into account, whether they were doing a good job or not. And then you build based off that and the new things that you're putting together.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's always good to look at that. And a lot of people do overlook going deep back. They're like, oh, we're going to start fresh.
Yeah.
Whatever. The old stuff didn't work. Well, maybe it did.
Right.
Maybe you could go back on an email sequence and the click-through rate was like 45% on an email. And what was that? What was that call to action? So it's always good to look at that. I love going deep all the way back.
Yeah.
Best converting headlines, best converting ads, and actually bringing them back. And we've actually talked about that in a previous mastermind, how some people, for example, for Black Friday, they'll bring back their best ad from the year and they'll just put Black Friday banner over it. And that it'll probably work just as well as it did before because that, you know, the headline or the image itself is appealing.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about how you measure the effectiveness of your copy, whether it's email or a landing page? Maybe you have a different structure mechanism for each. How do you look at that?
So if we're selling something, we'll start email first because it's easier. What is the open rates? And then what is the click-through rates?
Okay.
And then so because that just tells me obviously how many people are then going to the next step of the funnel.
Okay.
If it's a sales page or something more high ticket, how many book calls are being scheduled from there? And if it's more like e-commerce focus, how many people get to the checkout page, but then do not take action?
Okay.
So I try to like isolate each step of the funnel to understand like what they're, where, what were they supposed to do? And then where did they fall off? And then I can recognize, was it something I said that wasn't clear? Was it the checkout page wasn't, the information wasn't clear on exactly what they need to do, or it was confusing? Do I need to add more testimonies to make it more comfortable? If it is like, let's say going from a sales, like a book call sales page, did I not send enough reminder emails to show up to the call? Did I not send enough SMS follow-ups? Right. So it kind of gives me an indication where did things break down? And like Jeremy teaches us, isolate one variable, test it, leave it alone for 72 hours, go to the next one, test it, leave it alone for 72 hours.
I was about to go there. I'm glad that you went there.
Yeah.
You test one variable at a time to make sure that, because how do you not know that out of the three things you changed, like which one actually made the change?
100%.
Or give you the results that you wanted or didn't,
yeah.
Right? Okay. What do you think is the most important aspect of creating copy that converts? The single most important one that comes to the top of your mind?
Writing at like authentically writing, which specifically means knowing exactly who the person you're writing for, like who they are, and then exactly who you're writing to buy something. Because you can write the greatest assemblage of words, but if it does not sound like the person, if it's like selling a coaching or whatever, the person's not going to buy it, meaning the other person, because they need to feel that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So authenticity is the biggest thing you need in your copy.
I love that you went with that, because as an ethical copywriter, that's what you should have answered.
Yeah.
How do you tailor your copy to different stages of the buyer journey?
Ooh, okay. So there's something that we have called the intimacy funnel.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, so the top part is like when someone doesn't know you, they like, you need to write to them very different than someone really like knows you at the bottom. So for example, an ad, I can't be like, we can't crack inside jokes on Epic Talks or like Jeremy, because like, if you didn't know me, I couldn't say that. You'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? People listening that don't know me, they're like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Then you get to the next level where, okay, you're in my orbit, but I don't really know you that well, but at least I can start talking to you with some commonalities. Where in the copy, you could say, let's say we live in the same area. Oh, you've probably been down this street, or you probably have gone eating at this restaurant. If now you're on the third level, that means like we might have commonalities, whether it's friends, but it's harder obviously if you're selling online, but the idea is like more things in common. Maybe I know you watch the same TV show. Maybe I know that you probably were in a mastermind that like I have a connection to. I can start writing these ways. And then the bottom one is we are actually friends. So these are people that I can then email my list saying, I have something hot that I want you to buy. I'm giving you access to it first. So what this means is that though, I need to know you at every stage and how to write to you. Because writing from cold traffic to affiliate traffic to warm traffic. So affiliate traffic, someone saying, hey, go check out Alex, he's dope. Warm traffic being like, you're following me on social or my email list. And then Proximal, which is the most one connected on, is saying like, you're in my close like circle. I have something new only for you guys. Come buy it. So I have to know how well I know you every stage.
There you go. So not only know who you're selling to, but how you're selling to them at every stage that you're selling to them.
Yes.
It's a mind fuck.
Yeah, inception.
That's why you charge the big bucks.
This is true.
All right, and that's why you make the big bucks. That's why you made that. How many millions? In the email list.
Shh,
it was good, man. Okay, can you share any strategies for creating urgency and copy without being too pushy or weird? You know.
Yeah. So we love doing something called price anchoring, and price anchoring, is being able to talk about the investment and what they're going to get, and then what happens if they don't do it. But not being like, your life is going to suck, because that's not going to work. But it's more being like, hey, listen, the investment costs this amount of money. If you don't want to do it, like, here's other people that did do it, and here's what their life looks like. So, for example, we work with Vince Del Monte, who's a big fitness influencer. We took his funnel from low six figures a month to seven figures a month. And in the price anchoring section, we talked about how, hey, the investment for this is significant, but here is, and then waterfall amount of testimonies of people that are making significantly more than the investment in the program. And here's all these people just like you that are now crushing it. You can do something similar. And we actually structured it in the sense it was like, if you're a new coach, here's about 20 people that made their first 5K a month from this program. If you're a more advanced coach, like 10K, here's 20 people that are making 10 to 20.
Segment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then a more fun price anchoring, which is separate, what we did for Vince was John, my partner, had this old sales page about writing. It's called Practum Verde. And he got to the pricing of it, and he said the price of the program was $555. And he said, if you like Chipotle, the average price of a Chipotle burrito with double meat and guac in New York is about $20. And he literally did the math, because his audience was fitness people that care about macros, saying, if you bought this amount of Chipotle burritos every day because you're trying to hit your macros, you're going to spend more money than you would on this course. But guess what? If you take this course, you'll be able to buy as many burritos as you ever want. So you'll never have to worry about hitting your protein goals again.
Okay.
I was like, that's such a creative different spin on being like, buy now, or here's a discount.
Diving super deep into something that would probably, oh my God.
Because he knew his audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. How do you incorporate storytelling into your writing to make it more engaging and effective?
You yourself need to be a great storyteller. And I consider myself a solid 8 out of 10. There's so much growth I need to do. Like John and yoga for like 20s out of 10s, which doesn't make sense, but it's in my grading system. So that means that you need to be learning what great stories sound like. That's why we go back to saying you need to watch TV. You need to watch great movies. You need to listen to like read really good books, like fiction books. Mm-hmm. Like you need to be engulfed in what fantastic stories look like, because in subconsciously your brain then recognizes how to do it. The other thing is to study people like Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey. So you can actually recognize like what steps there are to a great story. Because once you have the foundation, what to do it, then you can put in the copy. But typically a story is like there, you have to introduce a character and the conflict and that they almost gave up. And now that they didn't give up on their journey because they met, you know, a mentor that taught them. And now then they meet their final villain, right? That their life is almost going to explode because of it. And then they finally get to the other side. But you need to recognize your steps in order to get there. So you need to study storytelling.
I love that. Especially because I'm always reading business books. I don't read fiction.
Yeah.
Not because I don't like it. I used to a lot before. But you're right. You're going to make me read fiction now.
And erotic fiction.
That's what I was thinking about. You called me out.
I'll send you all your books. Don't worry.
You send me all the books.
All the books.
Imagine like a box of erotic books arrives at my house. My girl's like, yo, what? Who sent you this? It's like, it was...
it was Brett.
It was fucking Brett. Well, right. It was Brett.
It could get you in trouble because
it was one of my listeners.
It could get you in more trouble because I've met a few females named Brett. So your girl could be like,
yeah,
like, who are you seeing over here?
Yeah.
It's not like my name is like Chris.
Yeah. You
know, something just a very generic male name.
You're right, man. Yeah. You're
sorry, Alex's girl.
I knew this podcast was going to be trouble.
Didn't mean to get him in trouble.
What is the biggest misconception that people have about conversion copywriting?
I'm just going to go with my gut on the answer, is that you can outsource it if you're not an expert.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about that at the beginning.
Yeah.
You don't know what you don't know. So if it's like shit work, you just paid for shit work.
Yeah. I mean, also think about too, like, I don't know shit about cars. I'm not going to go to my mechanic and be like, hey, this thing is not actually right that you told me was wrong with my car. Yeah. So why are we doing it in every other area of our business?
Yeah.
Spend the time to invest in your skill set. When I say expert, you yourself don't need to be an expert writer, but you need to recognize what fantastic copy looks like for you to give feedback on your own or the person you hire.
And make sure that it's accurate to your product or service and that what you're actually promising is actually something that's real.
100%.
Where can we see more of your content? You seem to be very organized with it. All your socials or any courses or any like material that people could use to be able to help grow their business, whether they could hire you or not right now?
Yeah. Excuse me. The first part, Instagram. So Brett, Brett.Kaufman, Kaufman, 26. Then the other one is join our email list on our website, which is wearewellspring, W-E-L-L-S, springmedia.com. If you join our email list, we give everyone that joins our email list a free email deliverability check. So regardless of the size of your email list, your emails might be landing in promo. They're landing in promo. They're not getting as open as much as emails in primary, causing you to miss out on a ton of revenue. So if you join our list, we'll help you fix that and show exactly what you need to do that so you can make the most from your list.
That's something that is extremely valuable. I heavily recommend you guys take them up on that offer. If you don't remember what he just said, go to the show notes. We're going to link it on the show notes. You'll be able to go right into their email chain. I'm sure that you'll be able to enjoy a lot of things in there because I've learned a whole lot of things today. So I'm grateful that you took the time to speak to us.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Social media. Did you share your socials already? Your IG?
Yeah, I shared IG. And I'll Brett.Kaufman26, Brett.Kaufman26.
Are you active on Twitter?
No, I should be. But
yeah, because a big copywriting community.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we both learned something today.
There we go.
Okay.
This is true.
All right, guys. This is Alex Quinn, Brett Kaufman. Hustle inspires hustle. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Hustle Inspires Hustle podcast. I'd appreciate it if you could share, leave a review, and subscribe to the show. Visit hustleinspireshustle.com/app for more free resources, event invitations, and online courses to empower your personal and financial success. Learn about marketing, finances, business development, branding, strategic partnerships, and much more. If you're looking to further connect, check me out on Instagram or LinkedIn at Alex Quinn. That's A-L-E-X-Q-U-I-N. See you on the next episode.